I'd like to invite you this morning over to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. The book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 reads this way. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you again for the privilege of assembling together as your people. And then, Lord, being reminded again where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. May we never take that for granted. We do thank you for your presence this morning. We do pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and minds and to guide us, Lord, into understanding more about the salvation that you've given to us. And, Lord, more about the truths that you'd have for us to hear even this morning, that we might grow in your grace, in your wisdom, and in your knowledge, and of course, in the faith that you've given to us. Bless each and every one of your people. Build Northwood for your honor and glory, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, Through Faith. You find that there in the statement as it talks about the grace of God is how we're saved. And then it says the vehicle of that grace is through faith. So that's going to be the title this morning, Through Faith. And we do want to understand more about this idea of the faith that God has given to us. And so it says, by grace are you saved, right? So what is that word grace? Well, we know it means it's unmerited favor from the Lord, right? And we do know that. And really what it also means is that it is because God is gracious to sinful souls like you and I, that he has done something for you and I that we don't deserve. And that is, of course, to forgive us for our sins. And then he wants to convert us from the ways of death. That's where we walked in before, right? Before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ, we were walking in the ways of death. And then after salvation, God gives to us eternal life and shows us how to walk in those ways. And I wanted to stop there just for a moment and just remind you, everybody has their own rate of growth. But growth ought to be seen in the life of every believer. We shouldn't get stagnant in our relationship with the Lord, because God is wanting to build our faith and encourage us that we might grow in his grace. And again, so he, because of his graciousness to each and every one of us, he's changed us and he purifies us for the glory of his name. Amen. He wants to glorify his name by giving us his righteousness. And by the way, that's what marks us as children of God and not children of this world. We've been redeemed from being children of the world to now being children of God. And that is a relationship that is involved the Lord himself in our lives. And that's what the world doesn't understand. The world, a lot of times, when they think of faith in Christ, they think of religion or some kind of a ritualistic practice that they do on a habitual basis, right? They do it every Sunday, maybe twice a week, or whatever it is that they do. But this goes beyond our practice. This goes into the relationship that God wants to have with you and I. So once salvation takes place, we are eternally changed. Do you believe that? We are changed forever. And this is important because God, and what he's given to us in his grace, God is eternal. What does that mean? That means he's been from everlasting to everlasting. He is also infinite. What does that mean? There's no end to him. So imagine this. You can't go back far enough because God's still there. You can't go forever and ever and ever and ever because God's still there as well. That's amazing, isn't it? That kind of hurts your brain, doesn't it, a little bit? But we thank the Lord that he's eternal, he is infinite. And by the way, so also are all of his attributes, including the grace of God. God's grace is eternal. God's grace is infinite. So question, the grace that you and I have received as his child, will that ever diminish? Will that ever dissipate? Will that ever disappear? No, it's eternal and it's infinite. Isn't that assuring? And that's what God wants us to know, and he wants us to grow in that. So this morning, we will look at really the vehicle that brings us into God's grace, which is through faith, right? Through faith. And what we're going to consider is, what is faith? That's a good question, isn't it? What is faith? And by the way, do we know everything there is to know about faith? No, we can grow in understanding what faith is. And then also, secondly, why faith is chosen as the way of salvation. We'll look at that. And then how we can obtain and increase our faith. So let's begin with, what is faith? Faith is made up of three things. Faith is made up of knowledge, faith is made up of belief,
and trust, and it's in this order. We have to have, listen, knowledge comes first, because without knowledge, there's no understanding. We have to know what we're believing in, right? And so it's important. Listen, when somebody goes to receive an education, even from the very foundation, from the beginning, when we enter into school and the teacher begins to recite certain things and we begin to learn certain things, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and before you know it, we begin to understand. But it's a repetitive process, isn't it, that we're being instructed by. And so likewise also, God wants us to know about what we're believing in when we have our faith in Him. So the more we understand, the more we know, the greater our faith will be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So knowledge is important. By the way, you're right here in the book of Ephesians. We're going to flip around a little bit here, but I want you to just back up a little bit to the book of Romans, if you will, and look at chapter 10 for a minute, verse 14. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. And again, it's important that we have a certain amount of information of something, or we're not able to intelligently believe in it, right? We have to know. We don't just believe in something we don't know about. We have to have some intelligent understanding of what we have placed our faith in. So there has to be some knowledge. So for example, if you were going over, you ever see those bridges? I don't even know, you know, with so much AI anymore, I don't know what's real and what isn't. But I think they're glass bridges. I don't know if it's in China or some kind of crazy country that they've got these bridges that are made out of glass, and you walk over and you see people kind of hesitant because they're, I don't know, hundreds of feet above the ground by some mountain. I would just tell you this. I don't know who built that thing. So I'm not going to put my faith in something and someone I don't know about. But that's okay for other people to do it. But I would want to know a whole lot more about its construction and how it was. If I had to go, if I don't have to go, I'm not going. But if I had to go, I'd want to know a whole lot more about it than just people going out there and trying to walk across it. So as we consider this, notice here in the book of Romans, and we're going to be in chapter 10, and notice verse 14, what it says here. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How's this going to happen? And how shall they believe in Him, speaking of Jesus, in whom they have not what? Heard. You've got to hear. You've got to know something. Hearing, that's how we learn things, right? The teacher teaches, gives a lecture, and we're hearing things, and we're learning what's being taught. And so likewise, in the education process, we have to place faith, and we do place faith, and parents send their kids into school having faith that teacher is going to teach them the truth. Right? We want them to learn the things that are right and the things that are good and the things that are honest and the things that are of a good report. I don't know that happens much anymore today in the day and age in which we live. I'm afraid a lot of things are taught as truth and maybe they're not true, but here's one thing you can rest assured. Every word of God is the truth. Right? Listen, even in science, you can go back a couple of hundred years ago, and doctors were taught that letting somebody's blood out while they're sick was a good idea. And later on, they found out, whoops, maybe not such a good idea, right? Maybe this is not so helpful. Now, I believe they had the best of intentions. The problem was it wasn't the truth. It wasn't right, and it was wrong. But one thing we can count on, and by the way, the Lord wants you to prove Him also. Isn't that good? And God wants us to prove Him and see if he is the truth. And we'll find that He is. So again, verse 14 says, How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So the preacher is the one who speaks the word of God, right? Who shares that. And as they hear, as people hear the word of God, they begin to understand better about what they're believing in. So again, knowledge is critical to faith. Then while you're here in Romans chapter 10, look at verse 17. You're right there. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So the Word of God brings faith, but we have to hear it. So knowledge, again, is a key ingredient to understanding what faith is really all about. And so Psalm, I'm not going to have you turn there, but Psalm 9:10 says this, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee." Did you see that? Knowledge. "And they that know," that's knowledge, right? "Shall put their trust in thee." And that's Psalm 9:10. Hebrews 11:6, go over there, if you will, with me just for a moment, book of Hebrews. And look at verse 11, I'm sorry, chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "But without faith," and by the way, this is knowledge also, "without faith," and we'll see the other components of faith, "it is impossible to please him," speaking of God, "for he that cometh to God must believe that he is," and get this, not only that, "and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So there's an action that is taking place there as we place our faith in the Lord, as we begin to trust him, as we begin to understand what God is saying to us. He's saying, if you'll put your trust in me and you'll call upon me, I'm going to answer you. I'm going to show you, but you have to have faith, first of all, right? You have to have knowledge. This is the direction God is saying. God is saying, here's the knowledge. Call on me. That's the knowledge. So what do? We trust the Lord and we begin to call on the Lord. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me," right? And so if we understand that, that is knowledge. And now we have the opportunity to take that knowledge and put it into faith, right? To where we can trust the Lord. And notice what God says he will do again in verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." And how do we get faith? It has to be by knowledge. And that knowledge is the Word of God. But once we get that knowledge, we can't just sit on it. We just can't do nothing with it. We have to do something with it. If we believe that knowledge that we've received, he says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them," these individuals, "that diligently seek him." Right? It's not just some kind of a thing that we just park it Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday we break out the Bible. No, this is a daily walk with the Lord, that we're proving the Lord, because we find that he is the author of what? Life. Right? And the life that he's given to us is a life that is more abundant in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this has to do with the idea of what faith is really all about. And then we find also that God will increase our faith as we put our faith and believe in what the knowledge is that he's giving to us. So back up with me, if you would, over to the book of 2 Corinthians for a moment. Chapter 5, verse 21. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And again, why is this knowledge important for our faith? Well, this is what it says. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For he hath made him," speaking of Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us." Now listen to this. We're talking about putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, putting our faith in God for eternal life. Watch how this works. Right? So he made him to be sin for us, right? "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Who's that? Jesus Christ, is it not? "Who knew no sin." Why? "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Did you see that? Follow this thought. Listen, this is where faith is powerful, or where knowledge is powerful. Listen to what God did. God made the Lord Jesus Christ to be sin for us, for the whole world, for anybody who'd put their faith in him. This is what the Lord did. So what are we going to do with this knowledge? He made us to be sin for us. Notice, who knew no sin. So that means the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was perfect, sinless, without sin. And notice what he did. He made him to be sin for us. Why did he do that? Well, he tells us that we, the lost sinner, might be made the righteousness of God. Is that has nothing to do with you and I, but that has everything to do with God himself. So are we believing that the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, this is knowledge now, so we can have faith, died in our place, who knew no sin? You follow that? He knew no sin. Why? That you and I that put our faith and trust in Him might be made the righteousness of God in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why I have the right and the privilege and the honor to go before the throne of God in prayer? Do you know why that is? Not because I read my Bible, not because I memorize Scripture, not because of anything that I have done or will ever do, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me when God the Father had Him become sin for you and I, that you and I, the ungodly, might be given the righteousness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what you and I have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it for us. So sometimes we might feel like this. Well, I don't know that I can pray today that much because I've been having some difficulties in life, or I don't know that I can really petition the Lord today because I have not been reading my Bible as much as I should, or whatever stipulation we might put on it. That is not the basis for our approach to the throne of God. Our basis is because the Lord God, the Father, allowed the Son, and the Son came to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might have the righteousness of God. So you and I have been given to our account the righteousness of God that enables us and entitles us, not in arrogance, but entitles us entrance to the throne of God 24/7 for the rest of our lives forever. Isn't that amazing? See, this is what knowledge does to our faith. So you can't have true faith without understanding the knowledge of God. And so God wants us to understand what it means when He says through faith, what that vehicle through faith is really all about. So let's back up to our text here. And as we consider this increase of faith by this knowledge, now we want to move, not just when we go to knowledge, but now we have to go move over to believing, see? We've got this knowledge, now we have to make a choice as to whether or not we're going to believe the knowledge that we have received. See, it's stipulation, there's a stipulation on that. Now we've heard the knowledge, now we need to make the decision, do we believe God? Do we believe God? I would rather believe the Lord more than anybody else and anything else, because He is the truth, and He's proven that. And I can't talk you into that, but I believe God confirms that in our hearts and minds through the power of the Holy Spirit when He convicts us, yes, this is the truth, and you can count on the Lord, and God opens up all kinds of doors for us to enter into, to rest and to walk in the mercy and grace of God. So back up with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and now let's look at how now we transition from knowledge to believing the things that are true that we've heard from the Word of God. So Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ. So we're talking about before salvation. Is that right? Do you follow me on that? This is before salvation. That at that time, and in fact, let's back up to verse 11. Let's just kind of keep this all together. Look at verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. In other words, you were not in the covenant of God, right? Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, or the covenant that God had made in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Was that not the case of everybody before salvation? Let's try that again. Was that not the case of everybody before we got saved? Absolutely. This is important. So this is the next step of knowledge and bringing it into the place to where we make the choice to believe in it. Notice what he says here in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Something has happened. We took that knowledge and we trusted it and we believed it. And we called upon the Lord to save us, and now there is an event that is taking place in the life of the believer that you can't ever erase. You know that you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that He's changed your destination. You know that your sins have been forgiven. You know that your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you know that you have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the way it works. We have to understand what God is wanting us to receive. And once we understand it, we make the choice to believe in it. And then God brings salvation to pass in our hearts and minds. And so it's a process that God is working in our lives. So notice this with me. Back up to the Gospel of John here just for a moment. And I do want you to see this. Gospel of John, chapter 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4. And this will be important to see. And this is, again, believing what was heard here and putting it into practice and trusting in it. And notice what the Lord says here in John chapter 4, verse 14. This is what the Lord said. Ready? But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. Remember the woman at the well? But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. That's knowledge, isn't it? Here's the question. Do I believe it? Do I believe it? Not did I just go through the motions, did I just say, okay, cross the T, dot the I. No, do I personally believe it for me? Do I realize that eternal life is at stake? And am I going to put my faith or my trust in the knowledge of what God has given? And so he says here, but whosoever drinketh of the water, verse 14, that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into life, into everlasting life. That's the truth. May I tell you, from the day I got saved in 1987 till the present day, the well of water that God has given to me continues to flow. Amen? It has never run dry. Every time I resort to the Lord, and by the way, it's the power of God in the life of the believer. That well never runs dry. You're right there in the book of John. Look at chapter 5 and look at verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Notice what the Lord says here. And again, this is believing. Verily, verily, or it can be rendered truly, truly, Jesus, I say unto you, listen to this. He that heareth my word and what? And believeth. See, there's knowledge. Now there's the next phase is believing. This is in the Bible. You saw that, right? And believeth on him that sent me hath what? Everlasting life. I didn't say that. The Lord did. Can we believe that? Everlasting life. And notice, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. The Lord said that. You and I in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're believing what the Lord said, the knowledge that he's given, you and I will never come into condemnation. Remember why? Because he became sin for us that we might have the righteousness of God. Amen. So the righteousness of God can never enter. And I know I'm not perfect, and I know you're not perfect, but God knew that before we knew that. Did you know that?
Yes.
God knew that before you and I knew that, and he said, I've sealed you.
Amen.
By my righteousness.
Amen.
By the blood of my Son. Is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ enough to give us eternal life? The Lord God said it is. The Lord said it would give us his righteousness. Isn't that amazing when you put that together like that? So, God is the one that causes us to believe and trust in the truth. That's faith. It starts with knowledge, understanding what God has said, and then we trust the Lord and believe what he has said. And it's kind of like a blind man. Right? If there's a blind man that has never seen before, it's something if you've had sight and then lost your sight. I've got three sisters that are dealing with that. The oldest one is pretty much totally blind, but she did have sight. So she trusts us to lead her around when we're out in public, when we're going out and about. She'll hold on somebody's arm. Now she has a walking cane, but she'll hold on to somebody's arm. And I've got to be careful to think that, you know, just because she's holding my arm, that she can't still see. Because sometimes I may not look down on the floor. I might not see anything. I can't tell you how many times she says, one of the worst things around the house is for somebody to leave the dishwasher door open. Because she catches that in the shin every time. She doesn't see that, right? And so I got to be careful that walking through parking lots that I don't lead her. She's trusting me that I won't lead her into something where she would hurt herself, right? And so when we consider this is what faith is all about. You trust that the other one can see, when you can't see. You and I are trusting in the Lord God who sees everything. Even when we can't see, He sees everything. Isn't that something? And He will open up our eyes and give us sight into spiritual things that He wants us to understand. Also, when we grow in the grace of God or in the understanding and believing the Lord, our love will also grow for our God. Because He takes care of us. And He leads us into the paths that are green, amen, and to the still waters where we can get refreshed. And we're talking about the Word of God that feeds us and that we're nourished by, and our faith is increased, and we're drawn closer to God. We're nourished, spiritually speaking, by the Word of God. And so what happens is we develop a love for our God. I pray, and I believe it's the case, you love God more today than you did when you first got saved. But you're not going to love God as much as you do today, as much as you will in eternity, and from this point till eternity, because the love of God should grow in the life of the believer. So, can you imagine a woman who was married to a very renowned, known doctor, and she got this illness, and people die with this illness. And her husband, the physician, is an expert on this disease. And she's sick. And her husband has performed this procedure thousands of times successfully. Do you think she has any concern or any worry about her husband taking care of the illness in her life? Do you think she says, well, not only is he the best physician with this sickness that I happen to have also, and he's performed it thousands of times successfully, but there's something different between her and all the other patients. I believe the doctor cared about his patients, don't you? But I believe the doctor has a special love for his wife. Do you know that the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great physician, has a special love for all of His people?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? The love that God has for you and I. And so God wants us to trust Him and to love Him, knowing that He works out all things for our what? He's the great physician. And they're all for our good. So there's a love there. There's a trust. How about you might think of your kid, but can you remember when you were a child and you trusted your parents? I'll never forget. I think I was about 4 or 5 years old, so I've already forgotten, haven't I? I don't remember. It was 4 or 5. And we lived on Bay Drive, which was about maybe a block or two from South Beach in Miami, Florida. We lived in an apartment. It was my mom and dad and myself, and a hurricane was coming through. Nobody went to work. Nobody did anything. And all I remember was my dad saying it was going to be all right. So you know what to me that was? That was a day off of school. And my dad said, we got to open up the windows because there's some kind of a pressure. It'll blow out the windows with a change in pressure. And boy, oh boy, was it windy and things were moving and things of that nature. But my dad said, everything is all right. You know what I did? I believed him. You know why? Because I loved him. And do you know why? Because I knew he loved me. And so that's the kind of relationship that God wants to have with you and I. Do we really love him? See, we all, God, but do we really love him as our heavenly Father? Do we really have that intimate relationship that he wants to have with us? Or is it just something that we do? See, God wants us to really enjoy and trust him and have that love relationship. You know, years ago, you'll have to ask Brother Bowler after the sermon this morning, but years ago, I don't know how far back ago, before farmers were able to buy seed, if I'm not mistaken, I believe they had granaries where they reserved some seed for the next year's planting. But if they were growing corn or whatever the case might be. And so here, fathom this thought. They sell whatever they had reaped in and brought in the previous year, and now here they're getting ready to plow the field for this coming season, and they're going to take the rest of their corn, good food that they could eat for themselves, and they're going to take that corn and stick it in the ground to rot And then hopefully to bring forth more fruit, right? That's they're trusting that that is going to take place, that they're going to reap what they have sown instead of taking that and saying, no, I think I'll just keep this. But if they kept that, they wouldn't have anything for the future, right? So that is trust. We are trusting God's program. That the Lord talks about reaping and sowing, doesn't he? And the same thing works with our faith. We trust the Lord that we are going to give him some of our precious time that he knows is precious, and we're going to call upon him, and we're going to look to his word. We're going to take some of our, we're going to invest ourselves, and God says, I'm going to give you more. Amen. God says, I'm going to show you more. And by the way, that's how faith begins to grow. So God has given to us this understanding of what faith really is all about. We know it comes by knowledge, and then it comes by believing the knowledge that we've heard and then trusting in it and growing in that grace. So the second thought is, why is faith chosen as the way of salvation? Let me invite you back to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, our text there. Why faith? Why has God chosen faith as the way of salvation? Well, faith is chosen because it gives God all, not most, all the glory. So let's back up over here to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 8 again. And notice what it says here, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Is that not the case? It's a gift of God. And so when somebody gives a gift, they pay for it, don't they? When somebody gives a gift. And so if somebody gave you a big gift, you wouldn't try to pay them a little bit for it, would you? If somebody bought you something that cost thousands of dollars, and you said, well, here's a couple of hundred for it, would that be a little offensive, do you think, to the person that was giving you something? That's important to understand. Because if it's a gift, the person that's giving the gift intends for you not to pay for it. And so God has given you and I a gift that he has paid for. Amen. And you and I would be most offensive to try to give God anything back for it. Amen. Most offensive. Because it cost the Lord the blood of his son and the life and everything else that he went through. So, notice again verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now listen, this is the importance of the knowledge. And so that we might understand what to believe in. And then notice what the Lord says in verse 9, talking about the salvation. Not of works. Why is it not of works? Why is it through faith? He tells us right there. Lest any man should boast. We are prone to saying, look what I did. I don't have to tell you, you know, when you think of, I hate to use a secular person, but there's one song that comes to mind when you say Frank Sinatra. Amen. You know it too. I did it my way. I did it my way. Well, I promise you that does not fly when it comes to salvation and a relationship with the Lord. We can't do it our way. We either do it his way or it's not done. It's just simply either having the righteousness of God or missing out on it completely. You know, we can't look at what we do and what we don't do that gains us favor in our relationship with the Lord. Many, many years ago, there was a boat that had flipped, capsized. There was two men in it, on Niagara Falls, so if you can imagine. And something crazy happened. This was many, many years ago. And what happened was the people on the shore saw what had happened. And somehow, with the current and everything, they floated a rope out to them. And both the men grabbed on the rope. They were headed for the falls. And one of the men, it was a rope. So if you can imagine, whatever the diameter of the rope was, a big log floated by them. And one of the men did something unbelievable. He let go of the rope and jumped onto the log because it was larger, they surmise. But it was not connected to the shore. And that log and that man went over the falls to his death. And the one man was saved because he looked at that rope and he saw it was connected. The other man saw the same thing, but he put his faith and trust in something that was not connected and went over the falls. See, when we put our faith and our trust in something that's not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ and works for salvation is not connected. So if people think because of what they do and what they don't do, that gains them entrance into eternal life, they're going to find out when it's too late, they go over the falls without eternal life. So our faith and trust must be in the Lord. And listen, I would want to know if I was believing in the wrong thing. Because eternal life is forever, is it not? And eternal death is, so it's important. So how can, the last thought is, how can we obtain and increase our faith? How can we grow in the faith that God has given to us? Do you believe the Holy Spirit? I believe the Holy Spirit enables us to believe to a greater extent the more we frequent to hear the Word of God and the more we seek God, He will increase our faith. That's how the Lord works. So as we seek to obey God's command, we trust Him as He has promised He will deliver us and He will enable us to do what we cannot do. You know, God knows that we are weak, does He not? And yet He's asked us to be holy because He's holy. Do you think He ever had a little of a thought that you guys can do this, we can do this in our own power? No, He said that will assure us that we will fail every time. So that's why the Lord God gave us His Holy Spirit, the enabler, the helper, the one who comes alongside and not only comforts us, but empowers our life that we might be witnesses. Not just a verbal witness, but a visible witness of a changed life for the glory of God. That we might truly have His peace and His love and His kindness and long-suffering and all the things that the world is looking for that needs to be seen by the children of God. He wants to empower that in our lives. So as we seek to obey the Lord's commandments, we trust in Him because He's promised to enable us to do those things. So that's what His Word tells us. So when God says He's going to do something, can you believe Him?
Yes.
And He says He's going to make us a peculiar people. He says we're going to be a royal priesthood. You know that, right? Amen. A special people, a holy people. Again, some time ago, a man was working and he got a note at work while he was at work. His foreman wanted to see him. And the foreman, he got this note. He wanted to see him at 7 o'clock at night at his house. He said, "This is peculiar and unusual." And so after his day shift came by and it went and finished, and he went home and changed and got himself together. 7 o'clock rolled around and he knocked on the foreman's door. And the foreman opened up the door and said, "What are you doing here?" He said, didn't you finish your work? And is everything all right? And he said, "Why are you troubling me at home?" He said, "Well, I've got this note here from you to come see you." And he said, "You are absolutely right. Come on in." And he invited him in and sat down. And he said, "I wanted to invite you in here. And you do have entrance because I did invite you in here to call on me because I'm giving you a promotion." And he gave him a promotion. And by the way, has God not said for you and I to call upon Him? Has God not given you and I an invitation? But are we answering that invitation? Has God not even commanded us to call on Him? Has God not even said to you and I that we should seek Him? And yet I wonder if maybe we're thinking we're inconveniencing the Lord because He's got so much to do that you and I are going to be so much of a trouble to Him to interfere with what He's got going on when you and I are the reason why He sent His Son and His love for us and His focus on us and His concern and care and compassion for us calls us to call upon Him that He might work in our lives and draw us even closer to Him. So how does our faith increase? By listening to the Word of God when He says, "Come unto me." When He says, "Call on me and I will answer thee." When He says, "Seek me and you will find me." See, God has already called us and commissioned us and has done everything in His Word to draw us closer to Him, that we might meet with Him. He's given us many examples how we ought to spend time with Him in prayer and how we ought to spend time with Him in His Word. And all those things work to increase our faith. Amen. The more we know about God, didn't we learn that this morning? The more we can believe in what He has promised. And the more we trust Him in those things and prove Him in those things, the more we experience the wonder-working power of the Lord. So this morning, God wants believers. Didn't the Lord say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. And I'll give you rest." Do you think it would be wrong to follow the Lord's command to come to Him for rest? Can He meet all of our spiritual needs? Can He meet our physical needs? He can meet all of our needs. And so the Lord says, come. The question is, in 2026, will we trust the Lord more than ever before? It's an invitation, right? The Lord's invitation, and the opportunity is ours. Would you stand as we prepare? Heavenly Father, we do come before Your throne thanking You for Your mercy and grace and Your love to each and every one of us. Lord, may we call upon You even this morning to work in our hearts and minds, that You might work in our lives and that You would increase our faith. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may You speak to their hearts and may they realize that You have done everything to provide the gift of eternal life. And it is just by simply putting the knowledge that they understand that You paid for the whole price, the whole gift, by the blood that You shed for us on Calvary's cross. And all they have to do is believe that and call upon You and confess, Lord, You as their Savior, that they're trusting You for their eternal life, repenting of their sins. Lord, I'm sorry for my sinfulness and the sins that I've committed, and I trust You to make me whiter than snow by the blood of the Lamb. That's where eternal life comes from. But then for those of us who know You as Savior, Lord, You want us to grow in the faith and grace that You've given to us. So speak to our hearts as only You can, and we'll give You the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.